everybody. We're back again for lesson 5 of our podcast series on the book of Proverbs. Thank you once again for joining us. We're going to jump right in and get started. Dear Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for another opportunity to open your word, open our hearts, minds, and ears to receive what you want us to learn. And thank you once again for this moment. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Okay, so we're going to just jump right in. Last time we started talking about the fear of the Lord, to reverence him, stand in awe, and how that fear should be what motivates us to do right. We ended with the question, is God worthy of our obedience? And I hope you all took the time to reflect on that this week. Now, let's jump right into this. I'm going to read this passage of scripture. Bear with me. It's going to be a long one, since you guys aren't here to read. I'm going to go to Jeremiah chapter 5. I'm going to read verses 1 to 25. I think I'm going to read this in the God's Words translation because it's so long, so you guys can kind of pick up a little bit more on what's going on and understanding what's going on here. All right, so this is again Jeremiah chapter 5, verses 1 to 25. Walk around the streets of Jerusalem. Look around and think about these things. Search the city squares. See if you can find anyone who does what is right and seeks the truth. Then I will forgive Jerusalem. People say, as the Lord lives, yet they lie when they take this oath. Lord, your eyes look for the truth. You strike these people, but they don't feel it. You crush them, but they refuse to be corrected. They are more stubborn than rocks. They refuse to turn back. I thought, these poor foolish people, they don't know the way of the Lord and the justice that God demands. Let me go to important people and speak to them. They know the way of the Lord and the justice that God demands. But they, too, have broken off their yokes and torn off their chains. That is why a lion from the forest will attack them. A wolf from the wilderness will destroy them. A leopard will lie in ambush outside their cities. All who leave the cities will be torn into pieces because they rebel so often and they become more and more unfaithful. Why should I forgive you? Your children abandoned me. They took godless oaths. They committed adultery, even though I satisfied their needs. They traveled in crowds to the houses of prostitutes. They are like well-fed stallions that are wild with desire. They neigh for their neighbor's wives. I will punish them for these things, declares the Lord. I will punish this nation. Go among Jerusalem's rows of grapevines and destroy them, but don't destroy all of them. Cut off the branches because they don't belong to the Lord. The nations of Israel and Judah are unfaithful to me, declares the Lord. They lie about the Lord and say he doesn't exist. Nothing bad will happen to us. We won't experience war or famine. The prophets are nothing but windbags. The Lord hasn't spoken through them. So let what they say happen to them. This is what the Lord God of armies says. Because you've talked like this, I'm going to put my words in your mouth like a fire. These people will be like wood. My words will burn them up. Nation of Israel, I'm going to bring a nation from far away to attack you, declares the Lord. It is a nation that has lasted a long time. It is an ancient nation. You don't know the language of this nation. You can't understand what its people say. Their arrow quivers are like open graves. They are almighty warriors. They will devour your harvest and your food. They will devour your sons and your daughters. They will devour your flocks and your cattle. They will devour your grapevines and your fig trees. With swords, they will destroy the fortified cities you trust. Yet, even in those days, declares the Lord, I won't destroy all of you. They will ask, why has the Lord our God done all of this to us? Answer them, you have abandoned me and served foreign gods in your land. So you will serve foreigners in a land that isn't yours. Tell this to the descendants of Jacob and make this heard in Judah. Hear this, you stupid, senseless people. You have eyes, but you cannot see. You have ears, but you cannot hear. Do you fear me? Asked the Lord. Do you tremble in my presence? I made a sand boundary for the sea, a permanent barrier that it cannot cross. Although the waves toss continuously, they can't break through. Although they roar, they can't cross it. But these people are stubborn and rebellious. They have turned aside and wandered away from me. They don't say to themselves, we should fear the Lord our God. He sends rain at the right time, the autumn rain and the spring rain. He makes sure that we have harvest seasons. Your wickedness has turned these things away. Your sins have kept good things away from you. Again, that is Jeremiah chapter 5, verses 1 to 25. So, obviously, listening to this, it's clear that these people had no fear of God. This commentary that I was reading says that at this point, Jerusalem was worse than Sodom and Gomorrah. Because at least then, you know, God, when he was talking to Abraham, was saying, you know, if you find 10 righteous people, you know, I won't destroy the city. That is not the case here. And we see what happens as a result of their continuous disrespect. It is very disrespectful for us to deal with God casually or not take him seriously, and not take his word seriously, take value and view him as somebody who is worthy of our obedience. We run the risk of various consequences, you know, and we can't pick our consequences. We may miss out on blessings, variety of things. It really is not worth it. So now I want to bring up, I want to examine rather some passages from Proverbs that discuss the fear of the Lord. The first one I think we read already is Proverbs 1 verse 7. And it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Okay? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, which is both the root and the fruit of wisdom. Now let's go to Proverbs chapter 1, verses 24 to 29. This is the NASB. Because I called you and you refused, I stretched out my hand and no one paid attention. And you neglected all my advice and did not want my rebuke. I will also laugh at your disaster. I will mock when your dread comes. When your dread comes like a storm and disaster comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but will not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. Here we have an example of the results of rejecting knowledge. And again, if the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, and we know that wisdom is the application of knowledge, we know wisdom has, there is no wisdom in this decision to reject knowledge, to reject, you know, the knowledge of God and disregard what it is that he is saying. Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 to 5. My son, if you will receive my words and treasure my commandments within you, make your ear attentive to wisdom, incline your heart to understanding. For if you cry out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. Right? So this is the pathway to the fear of the Lord. Proverbs 3, verse 7, don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. The evidence of reverence, recognizing how small you are compared to our big God. This is humility, right? This is exercising humility here. Proverbs 8, verse 13, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, arrogance, the evil way, and the perverted mouth. I hate. I fear the Lord means I hate sin. But do I? That's the question I have. But do we, though? Do we hate sin? Right? The evidence of our fear of the Lord, the evidence of our reverence is our hate for sin. Proverbs 9, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. The root of wisdom is the fear of God. Proverbs 10:27, the fear of the Lord prolongs life, but the years of the wicked will be shortened. The promise of fearing God, long life. Proverbs 14:26, in the fear of the Lord there is strong confidence, and his children will have refuge. There is a boldness or courage that comes with fearing God. The King James Version says one has strong confidence. Proverbs 14:27, the fear of the Lord is the foundation of life, by which one may avoid the snares of death. It's a refresher. The fear of the Lord, it refreshes one's life. Proverbs 15:16. Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and turmoil with the treasure. It's better than stuff. The fear of the Lord is better than the stuff we have. Proverbs 15:33. The fear of the Lord is the instruction for wisdom. And before honor comes humility. The root of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. Again, we're taught being humble. Honor comes before humility. Proverbs 16:6. By mercy and truth, atonement is made for wrongdoing. And by the fear of the Lord, one keeps away from evil. Fearing God causes us to depart from evil. That's what it should cause us. It should cause us to depart from evil. It should cause us not to want to fall into sin, you know, and be repeat offenders of especially the same sinful behaviors. Proverbs 19:23, the fear of the Lord leads to life so that one may sleep satisfied, untouched by evil. Fearing God leads to a life of contentment. Proverbs 22:4, the reward of humility and the fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life. Fearing God and humility go hand in hand and brings about blessing. Proverbs 23:17, don't let your heart envy sinners, but live in the fear of the Lord always. Fearing God, our fear of God should be an alternative to envying sinners. And I want us to think about that this week, because I know sometimes, I know for me, you know, there have been times where I'm looking around like, Lord, why are the wicked prospering? Like, what is going on? And it can feel lonely and it can feel frustrating, you know? But sometimes, even in those moments, I have to check myself and recognize, first of all, where is that coming from, and what is that? Is that envy? Am I actually envying the wicked because they seemingly have something that I don't have? I'm sure that's disrespectful to the Lord, too. And I'm thinking about that now. That's not in my notes. I'm just kind of talking. And I'm thinking, like, wow, I wonder if God is offended by that position, you know? Just something to think about. But, yeah. This fear of the Lord is important. This fear of the Lord is essential in our walk, you know. And again, it all goes back to humility and being humble and seeing ourselves and how little we are in the light of our gracious, loving, merciful Father in heaven, the creator of the universe. And we really need to have a healthy view of ourselves in light of who he is. That's humility. So that's the fear of the Lord. Next time we're going to start talking about friends. What about your friends? That's the next one we will be looking at. So thank you for joining us. I'm going to pray. Thank you, Lord, for another opportunity. Thank you, Lord, for your word. And allow this word to take root in our hearts and our minds, and allow it to inform our decisions and our actions, God. Bless the rest of this day for me and those who are listening. Thank you again. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, y'all. If y'all have any comments, if y'all have anything you want to add, thoughts, or whatever, again, there's a opportunity to say drop something on the website page where you can put in your comments. If you have any questions, regrets, anything you saw you wanted to bring up, put it there. If you want to add something to our regular Facebook chat, that's cool too. I want to hear from you guys, please. I want to hear something. Let me know if this is a blessing, if this is working, you know, anything. Thank you for your time.